Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Most of you have recognized that our intern, Caleb Sturgis, is with us, got in safely on Friday. And we're grateful for that. Looking forward to a great summer with Caleb. Philippians chapter 4. And some of you are thinking, Michael, you normally preach for about 35 to 40 minutes, and you're just getting started at 6:50. I want my root beer float. Well, don't worry. Philippians chapter 4, one verse tonight. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you lack opportunity. Let's read verse 11 as well. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. Let's ask for the Lord's help. Father God, thank you for this wonderful verse. Thank you for the ministry that you have called Leanna to in assisting there in Regina. We ask for you to do great things in saving women and children, allowing Leanna to disciple them and help them along in the faith. Please bless Cornerstone Baptist and Pastor Tim and his wife Verna and rebuild that church and expand it for your glory. Bless our brief time in the Word together tonight. Encourage us with this verse, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Many people believe that rejoicing in the Lord is the theme of the book of Philippians. It shows up about 6 or 7 times in the book. And Paul says here, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Kids, do you remember where Paul is at this point? Carson? Yeah, he's in jail. What city? Probably in Rome. That's the best guess. This would be the imprisonment that's described in Acts 28. Acts 28 ends with Paul in prison. Best we can tell, Paul is released from prison and goes out and has more effective ministry and then gets rearrested and dies during that second imprisonment. But this is his first one. But notice how the prison time didn't steal Paul's joy. Here he is, a prisoner telling free people to rejoice in the Lord, just like he is. If our rejoicing was based on circumstances, we wouldn't do very much rejoicing, would we? Life beats us up pretty good from week to week. But our rejoicing is not contingent on our circumstances, or it shouldn't be. But maybe that's why we often don't rejoice, is because we allow it to be contingent on our circumstances. But he says, rejoice in the Lord. Paul is saying, our joy is in the Lord. Philippians 2, Paul has just described how Jesus left the glories of heaven to become the God-man, to pay the price for sin, to become servant of all, obedient even to the point of death, the most shameful death known in the Roman world, the death of the cross. And so Paul says, Jesus is the basis of our rejoicing. Rejoice in the Lord. Jesus is the basis of our rejoicing, but he's also the source of our rejoicing. Because joy doesn't come very naturally to us, right? If I go into default mode, I'm a cantankerous kind of guy. Joy is not natural, it's supernatural, and that's why Jesus has to provide it for us. So who does Jesus provide the joy for? Well, where are we in the book of Philippians? We've just come out of the beginning part of chapter 4, where he says, live at peace in your church relationships. Don't be fighting. Don't have conflicts. And then in verses 6 and 7, he says, live at peace in your own heart. Don't worry, but through thankful prayer. And then he says in verse 8, think on truth. And then verse 9, live out truth. And what's the result? The God of peace will be with you. God is the source of peace. He's the source of joy in our lives. It's supernatural because it doesn't come easy to us. Don't be alarmed that joy doesn't come easy to you. It doesn't come easy to most people. It's supernatural. But Paul's joy wasn't contingent on a situation. However, he was quick to thank God for the good gifts that God put in his life. And that's what he's going to thank these Philippian believers for. And he describes there in verse 10 that now at last you have revived your concern for me. And at first when we read the English translation, we think, boy, Paul's kind of giving him a little bit of a reprimand here. Finally, what took you so long? And that's not the idea of all at all. You could probably translate it, once again is the idea. Once again, you have revived your concern for me. They've taken note of Paul's needs as they had in the past. And the word translated here in our English translation as concern is actually the word that we saw in Philippians 4, verse 8, that's translated dwell on or think on these things. And Paul has criticized them because they're not setting their minds, Philippians 2, they're not thinking on the things of Christ as they ought to be. But it's as if Paul comes back to this key word again and at the end pats them on the back and says, you're not thinking about the needs of others like you should, but you are thinking about my needs, and I want to commend you for that. So that's what the word concern means. It has the idea of thinking, looking for, being concerned about. I look back at chapter 1 and verse 5. In chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul is expressing his thanks to these believers. In verse 4, talks about how he's praying for them, offering thanks. He's joyful. And he expresses his cause for joy in verse 5. He says, in view of your participation, literally fellowship, in the gospel from the first day until now. What does the word fellowship mean? It's not a Baptist potluck. Although root beer float socials come pretty close to the idea of the word, I think. It's not what you're doing. It's not what gathers you there. It's what you're doing while you're there. The word basically means to share in somebody's life, to participate in somebody's life. Well, what are they participating in? They're participating in the gospel. What was the first day Paul's talking about? I think he's talking about their conversion. How long had that been? About 12 years. So he says, from 12 years ago when you were born again, when you turned from your sins and you believed in Jesus as your personal Savior, he says, from the first day until now, you have participated in the gospel. How did they participate in the spread of the gospel? Remember, the theme of chapter 1 is what? Gospel advance. So how had they participated in the gospel? Well, sharing the gospel, telling the good news, proclaiming the good news, evangelizing friends, no doubt. Praying for Paul while he's in prison. Praying for gospel bearers. What else? Well, look at chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 15. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, where's Macedonia? Greece. After I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent more than once for my needs. What is Paul saying? He's saying, you have financially supported me when other people weren't doing it. There was no other church giving to me except you guys. You were giving out of your poverty. And he says, you have revived your concern for me. And that word revived is a really beautiful word. It pictures new shoots coming up like a plant or a flower. We have some hostas that we planted a few years ago, and most of them did not do very well. And we thought we lost them. We have them on the side of the house where it's very shady, probably too shady. And they go away in the winter, and they disappear under the mulch, and you think they're gone. And then just the other day, I was walking by the side of our house, and here come two little hostas shooting up. That's this word. Sending up new shoots, flourishing, reviving, or we could say blossoming. He says that, again, your care for me has blossomed, it's flourished. They were there all along. The concern for Paul was there all along. They just lacked opportunity. And at the right time, right conditions, boom, there they are again. The Philippians' problem wasn't lack of concern, but lack of opportunity. Why didn't they have opportunity? Well, maybe they didn't know where Paul was to send him a gift. Maybe they were so poor they had nothing to give. We don't know what caused the lack of their opportunity. Maybe they weren't aware of the need. But he says, you were concerned for me, you were thinking about me, but you lacked the opportunity. For me, is it the opportunity that I lack most of the time, or is it the concern that I lack? Probably for most North American believers, it's the concern that they lack, not the opportunity. But there are times where we do lack opportunity. There are needs in the world and even within our church that need to be met that I don't know about. And I can't meet those needs when I don't know about them. Or how about needs that I know about, but I don't have the resources to change? The heart is there, maybe, but the opportunity is not. But when the opportunity arises, do you rise to the challenge? When the opportunity and the need converge, are you ready? Now, many of you had never heard about Leanna before. If you come on for our Wednesday night prayer and Bible study time, you've probably heard Ann mention Leanna and the work there in Cornerstone. So there's no way you could meet the needs that Leanna has because you didn't know about it. And that's okay. That's part of life. These godly believers, there were needs that they couldn't meet because they didn't know about them or they didn't have the opportunity. But now we know about the opportunity. Now we have the opportunity to pray. Now we have the opportunity to give. We can help meet Leanna's needs because the need and the opportunity have come together. And I'm confident by God's grace, because I know you, that you'll be able to rise to the challenge. All right. We are going to pray. And thank the Lord for root beer floats. And then we're going to, if you want to, I know some of you don't have the time, that's okay. I think Greg's brought the Cubs game, is that right? To set up outside, and I think some boys are going to be playing street hockey, and who knows what else might break out there. But we're going to start in here for the root beer floats, is that right, Christy? Okay. So Christy will start to get the root beer floats ready, and we'll enjoy some time talking together. I want to welcome our guests tonight. Nice to have you with us. All right, let's pray together. Lord, thank you for believers like you've brought here to Foundation Baptist Church that do care about gospel advance and care about your servants. I do ask that now, as we know about Leanna and what you're allowing her to do among women and children there in Regina, that we would not fail her by forgetting to pray for her. And as we have the opportunity and the resources, that we would be a blessing in meeting her needs. Thanks for the root beer floats. Thanks for bringing Caleb with us. Thanks for bringing Martha back safely from Columbia. Lots of goodnesses this week to us. We're grateful for all of those. We rejoice in you, Lord, and ask that we would be a blessing as we share in each other's lives tonight through biblical fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.